राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे।
जय राधा माधव
कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा कुंज
Thank you. प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्त वृंद श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन श्री वृंदावन धाम श्री मथुरा धाम की श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की गंगा मई की जमुना मई की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी महारानी की हरिनाम संकीर्तन की समवेत भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Govind. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 So, although one verse has been written on the board, but I thought that I'd just have a general discussion on Bhagavad Gita. Ramakanta, how are you?
Yeah.
Ramakanta Prabhu always writes the Bhagavad Gita verse on the board. And he knows all the verses of Bhagavad Gita by heart. When he writes it on the board, he doesn't need a book. He just writes it from his memory. Bhagavad Gita is a very wonderful scripture. Because in this scripture, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking about Himself. If we want to know who is God, and if there is a possibility of hearing God Himself speaking about Him, isn't that the best way to understand God? If I want to know you, and you come to me and tell me who you are, isn't that the best way to know you? So similarly, the best way to recognize or understand the Supreme Personality of God is hearing directly from Him. He Himself is speaking about Himself. But then again, it is not that He just starts to speak about Himself. I am God. He actually makes this presentation very, very scientifically. The first thing that he establishes in Bhagavad Gita is that he is, that there's the difference between matter and spirit. And the two things existing side by side in this world. Like this table is matter. And matter is inert, unconscious. Does this table have consciousness? Does this asana have consciousness? Does this floor have consciousness? Does this room have consciousness? No. But you and I, we are conscious. Although our bodies are made of matter, but these bodies made of matter are conscious. So what makes this body conscious? So that is how Krishna is first dealing with it. He makes a difference here. The body and the owner of the body. Deha and Dehi. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes this distinction. The difference between the body and the owner of the body. And then he speaks about the owner of the body. When the owner of the body leaves the body, then the body becomes dead. Then this body and this table has no difference. Then this body is inert, unconscious, dead, just like this table. Inert, unconscious, dead matter. Then Krishna very extensively, elaborately describes the nature of the owner of the body or the soul. The nature of the soul, Krishna is pointing out, the soul is never born. Na jayate. And the soul never dies. Mriyate va kadachin. Nayam bhutva bhavitavana. Once that it's existing, it's always there. All the souls that are there, they were never born. They have always been there. The soul has always been there. And the soul will never die. Who dies? The body dies. When does the body die? When the soul leaves the body dies. The soul never dies. Ajo nitya shashvato ayam purana na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Even the body is slain, even when the body is killed, the soul is not killed. The soul can never be killed. The soul can never be destroyed. So much so that the soul cannot be cut by any weapon. Soul cannot be burned by any amount of fire. The soul cannot be drowned in water, and the soul cannot be dried by air. That is the nature of the soul. And in this way, Krishna very elaborately explains about the soul. And then Krishna speaks about this nature and how one should act in this nature. In this nature, there is, to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, which is called karma. Karma simply means action, reaction principle. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you get the reaction. That's a very common, very natural thing. You do good action, the reaction will be good. You indulge in wrong action, you will be punished. So this is the principle of karma. Then Krishna also points out that how he made that arrangement through the demigods, devas. And these devas are supplying all the necessities that we have. Just like when we are living in the city of Zurich, now we are getting so many facilities, like there's electricity. Who is making the arrangement of the electricity? There's the electricity department. Then you go to the tap, open the tap, the water. Who supplies the water? The water supply department. You go out on the road and you drive your car through a beautiful road which is so nicely built and so beautifully maintained. Who built these roads? The public works department. In this way, in the universal affairs also, there are different departments. Like the sun comes up in the morning and dispels all the darkness and we get light. Who made this arrangement? This arrangement has been made by Mother Nature. And who is controlling this? The movement of the sun, sun god, Vivashwan, Surjade. Similarly, in due course of time, you get rain. You need rain, you need water. And the water is being supplied to you in the form of rain. In order to survive, we need to breathe. Who is supplying the air? There is an air department. So in the universal affair also there are various departments and there are different personalities who are controlling those departments. Now you are getting the supply of electricity. Now do you have any obligation towards that department? When you get the electric supply, at the end of the month you get a bill, and that bill, you pay the bill as a responsibility to towards that department. You are getting the water supply, you are getting so many different facilities, and for that you have to pay the bill at the end of the month. If you don't pay the bill, what will happen? The supply will get cut. If you don't pay the bill, then what will happen? 1 month probably you'll get the supply. But next month, what will happen? Don't pay the bill, you'll cut the supply. So what is the intelligent thing to do? The intelligent thing to do is to continue to pay the bill. Similarly, in the universal affairs, the devas are taking care of different supplies and we have to pay the bill. And the paying the bill is called yajna or sacrifice. Saha yajna praja srishta pura vacho prajapati. And these living entities, what is their responsibility? The process of yajna was introduced and one must perform the yajna and sha ishta kamadhuk. Then what will happen is kamadhuk, his needs, his desires could be fulfilled. His needs will be supplied. You perform the sacrifice towards the devas, and the devas will supply you with all your needs. So that is the principle of Karma Yoga. The third chapter in Vishnu describes about the Karma Yoga. And then at the beginning of the fourth chapter, Krishna says that he gave this knowledge to Sangha. Imam Vivashate Yogam Praptavan Ahamapayam. Then Vivashwan Manave Praha. Vivashan gave it to his sadhanu. Manur Ikshaku Ve Aprabhit. And Ikshaku gave it to his son. Manu gave it to his son Ikshaku. And then Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Bidu. In this way, through a chain of disciplic succession, this knowledge was flowing since time immemorial. But then Krishna said that Sakalene Hamahata Yoga Rashtabhant. But unfortunately, due to the influence of time or in course of time, that yoga, that knowledge or that process became interrupted or spoiled. Yoga nashta paranta. And saivayam mayatiyatya. So today I will establish this yoga, process of yoga, to you. Why? Bhaktosi me sakhacheti. Because you are my devotee and you are my very dear friend. Sayevayam mayate adhya yoga praktakuratam. This whole process of yoga that I have said a long, long time ago, I will re-establish that process of yoga through you. Because you are my very dear friend and you are my devotee. But at that time, Arjun raised a very pertinent question. Arjun said, you are born just the other day, but Vivashwan was born so many, many years ago. Then how can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivashwan? Aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivashvata. Kathametad janya tamadu praktavaniti. Aparam bhavato janma, you are born just after me. Because Arjuna and Krishna are of the same age. So Arjuna is making a point, you are born just after me. But Vivashan, Param Janma Bhavashati, Vivashan was born so many years ago. But how can I understand? Kathameta Advijaniya. That Tamadu Prakramaniti, that you spoke that knowledge. So, this is how Arjun is making a very valid question. For our sake. So that's why I was saying Bhagavad Gita is very systematically and scientifically establishing the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It is not that somebody says Krishna is God, therefore it is accepted that Krishna is God. Krishna is very systematically proving that. Difference between matter and soul. The nature of the soul. Then now from the nature of the soul he is coming to, he is making a difference between the jiva soul and Supreme Personality of God. The difference between jiva soul and super soul. So Arjuna asked that how can I understand that you spoke this knowledge to Vivashan. And then Krishna actually makes this point. Bahumi me vyatitani जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तानि अहं वेद सर्वानि न त्वेद And many, many times you have taken birth, Arjuna. So did I. So did I. Janmani tava cha Arjuna. But tani aham veda sarvani. About all those births, I know everything. I remember everything about all those births. Not tam betha parantava, but you do not. Now that is the difference between a jiva soul and a super soul. Jiva soul takes birth. It is not that at the time of death everything will be over. At the time of death everything will be finished. For the body everything will be finished, but the soul will continue to exist. So in this way the soul will continuously transmigrate from one body to another. But we forget. How many of you remember about your previous birth? Anybody have any recollection about your birth? You had been there. You had been there. This body was not the only time that you were existing. But you, the spirit soul, have been living through different bodies, transmigrating from one to another. But Krishna is saying that I remember everything about those bodies. Tani aham veda sarvani. And then Krishna is saying that ajo bhisha no payatma. What is the difference between Krishna and us? Krishna is aja, unborn. Although he is unborn, aja. And what is the meaning of aja here? With us, our birth means acceptance of a new body. When we accept a new body in the womb of the mother, and when the body is complete, then the body comes out. The bodies are manufactured. Bodies are made in the womb of the mother. And the soul is in that body. Around the soul, the new body develops in the mother. And when the body becomes ready, when the body, manufacturing of the body is complete, the body comes out. That is called birth. But in case, so point is, the birth means a soul's acceptance of a new body. And death is the soul's rejection of the old body. When the soul leaves the old body and goes away, it's dead. That is the secret of birth and death. But Krishna here is saying that I do not have these two types of bodies. My body is spiritual. And with my spiritual body, I come. Ajo bhishan abhayatma bhutanam isharo bhishan. I am the unborn, inexhaustible, and the controller and supreme director of all the living entities. Bhutanam isharo bhishan. But prakritim sham adhishthaya sambhava. Taking advantage of my internal potency, I come to this material nature. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. He is not born. He is Sambhavami. It's not Janma for Krishna. It's Sambhavami. I manifest myself. I appear. So, in this way, Krishna is establishing the difference between our birth and his appearance. Then he is saying why he comes and when does he come. Yada jadahi dharmasya dhyanir bhavati bharata Abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shudhamma. When does Krishna come? That whenever there is a decline in religious principles, dharmasya tadatmanam. And abhuthanam adharmasya, there is an increase of irreligiosity, then he comes to re-establish dharma. Dharma is actually, dharma means the law given by Krishna. Laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, say for example, the king is the lawmaker. Who makes the law? It's either the government or the ministry makes the law or the king makes the law. Generally, it is the king. Only in Kali Yuga there is no king situation, democracy. But in the human society, there is no situation. Normal human society is always dominated by the kings. It's an unusual phenomenon in the age of Kali. And not only king, there is ultimately a supreme king for the entire planet. Earth planet used to have one king who is to rule over. There used to be many subordinate kings, but on top of all the kings, there was one sovereign king. All the planets similarly has one supreme ruler. But the situation in the age of Kali changes anyway. So and that's why there is this consideration of democracy. So anyway, in democracy also, it is the government, it is the top, the selected leaders, the ministers, they make the law. Now when the king establishes the law, the king also maintains the law. It's the responsibility of the king. Therefore, he has the police system. When the law is there, everybody must abide by the law. And why the law? Is for the benefit of the people. The king makes the law not for himself. The king makes the law for the benefit of the people. For example, there's a law that when you drive the car, you must stop when it is red light. And you must move when it is green light. Why this arrangement? So that the traffic can move properly. If people do not abide by this traffic light, then what will happen? Then there will be traffic jams, then there will be accidents, there will be chaos. Is it desirable? So this traffic law is made by, made for the benefit of the people, of the city, of the state. There is a law that you should not take somebody else's property without telling him. It's a law. And if you break the law, you steal, will you take somebody's property, then what will happen? You'll be punished. So when the law and order is in proper way established, then people benefit. When the law and order like that is so nicely established, then you can peacefully sleep at night. You don't even have to lock your door. And people will lead a happy life. But if there is no regard for law and order, then what will happen? Then there will be accidents, there will be chaos, there will be complete anxiety in the minds of the people. Everybody will be in total anxiety. So this is how Krishna also created the law in this world. And that law is called dharma. And this dharma is there for the benefit of the people. When people abide by this law of dharma, then they live happily. But when they don't, now the law is there. If you don't follow the law, then what will happen? Say, for example, you drive through a red light. What will happen? There is a camera, right? It takes the number plate. And then you get a notice that come and pay 250 Swiss francs. Fine. And if you don't pay the fine, then what will happen? The police will come and arrest you. And then the punishment will be more serious. Then you're put into prison. Not only $250, 250 Swiss francs fine, then the fine goes up to £450 and 6 months in prison. And 3 years driving license is cancelled. Now you're in the prison and you try to run away from the prison. Then you are caught. Then what happens? Not just 6 months of imprisonment, but 6 years of imprisonment. So in this way, the more you break the law, the more severe becomes the punishment. On the other hand, you abide by the law, then no one will trouble you. On the other hand, everybody will give you the facility. You follow the traffic light and drive your car and you reach your destination in time. So Krishna, for our benefit, has created these principles of dharma, law and order. But when there is a decline of this dharma, when people don't want to abide by the law, then Krishna says that I come to re-establish dharma. When the law, when there is a breaking of law, when the law is not regarded, not followed, then what happens? There are two types of people, those who follow the law and order and those who break the law. So the law, those who break the law, they create disturbance to the ones, those who follow the law. Now, somebody drove the car through the red light and from the other side comes another car and smashes it, an accident. This other person, he was not at fault. He was right, he was meant to drive through the red green light. But because somebody did not follow the law, now this person has to suffer. This person has to suffer because somebody else's fault is causing him to suffer. His car is smashed, his bones are broken, he is taken to the hospital. And not only that, not only that one person suffered, then now there is a massive traffic jam. And everybody suffers. Those who are law-abiding citizens, now they are stuck in a traffic jam. Similarly, when Krishna's laws are broken, then other people, not only the miscreant suffers, but because of his mistake, the other people also suffer. So to rectify the situation, what Krishna does? Paritranaya sadhuna. He gives protection to the law-abiding individuals, the sadhus. And he vinashaya chudushkrita. He annihilates the miscreants. And in this way, dharma samsthapana arthaya, in order to establish the principle of dharma, sambhavami juge juge. I appear from time to time, millennium to millennium. So again, sambhavami, not janma, he says that I appear. Sambhavami, I manifest myself. And then Krishna says that when one understands that my birth, जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम एवं च व्यक्ति तत्वतः त्वक्ता देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सो अर्जुना. When one understands fully, perfectly, in reality, in truth, that my birth and my activities are divyam, are divine, then when he leaves his body, he doesn't have to come back to this material nature again. Takta deham punarjanma naiti mameti svarjana. When he leaves his body, he doesn't have to take birth again. Now this birth and death is the cause of our problem. Now if we are free from this cycle of birth and death, then all the problems are solved. That is called liberation. People want to be liberated from their suffering conditions. People are suffering and they want to be free from that suffering condition. And in order to become free from suffering condition, people undergo so many different types of austerities. In order to become liberated, people perform austerities for thousands of years. But here Krishna is giving such a simple method of becoming liberated. Just recognize that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are transcendental, divine. That means just recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. And if you understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, all your problems will be solved. No more coming back to this material nature. No more transmigrating through this cycle of birth and death. In this way, we can see how systematically Krishna gave this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is the most wonderful scripture. It is appropriate for the beginners and it is also appropriate for the most advanced spirits. This one book is giving us the entire understanding and knowledge about the spiritual reality. We understand our identity as spiritual, we recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we understand how it is, that it's how wonderfully Krishna made all the arrangements in this material nature. Everything is happening due to Krishna's divine arrangement. Thank you very much. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Yeah. No. Krishna Prema Rupa, it seems that you are going to ask a question.
Now you just stopped in the fourth chapter with your description. I just thought it would be very nice to hear more about how you... Maybe summarize a little more about the fifth, sixth, seventh chapter.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, there is time also, but
Okay. Yeah. Then, in the fifth chapter, Krishna is actually establishing the importance of a spirit soul's being submissive to the Supreme Personality. He must act for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the beginning of devotional service, which has been described as Karma Yoga. The preliminary aspect of Karma Yoga has been established in the third chapter. Then in the fifth chapter, the advanced understanding of Karma Yoga, acting on behalf of Krishna, has been established. What is Karma Yoga? Karma means the tendency to act. Now, as we act, accordingly we get the result. Now, what is the most appropriate action? The most appropriate action is to act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the preliminary stage of that action is we act according to our desire, but offer the results to Krishna. That is karma and yoga. And here, while we are acting according to our desire, we want to act, we want to do it. So the consideration is not really doing for Krishna, but I want to do it myself. But instead of enjoying the results of the fruits of those actions, we offer it to Krishna. That is karma yoga. The difference between karma yoga and pure devotion, karma yoga is also devotion, but it's mixed devotion. Devotion to Krishna is mixed with tendency to act according to our own desire. Then there is the Jnanamishra Bhakti, which is called Jnana Yoga. But when the actions or activities are free from the individual desire of karma and jnana, then it is pure devotion. So then in the sixth chapter, Krishna spoke about the Ashtanga Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, meditating upon Krishna, the fixing the mind on Krishna. Lotus, thinking about Krishna. Then, but at the end of the sixth chapter, sixth chapter is entitled as Sankhya Yoga, analytical study. And through Dhyana, one actually sees the difference between Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything else. And then in the seventh chapter, at the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna is pointing out that yoginam api sarvesham, of all the yogis, madgatena antaratmanaha, the one whose antaratma, his inner soul, has become madgata, which means is with his mind, with his consciousness, he is simply conscious about Krishna. He is the best of the yogis. Shraddhavan bhajate yoga. One who is rendering devotional service with Shraddha, he is yukta tamo. Yoga actually is the process of linking, connecting. Yoga is the process through which we are connected to Krishna. And of all the processes or methods of connecting to Krishna is the process of bhakti. Shraddhavan bhajate yoga. Bhaj, the bhajan, this word is the root of bhakti. So that means one who is connected to Krishna through love and expresses that love by rendering service unto Krishna, he is the greatest of all the yogis. Then in the seventh chapter begins the knowledge about the Absolute, knowledge about Krishna. And in this way, this middle six chapters, 7 to 12 chapter, is describing Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the importance of being engaged in serving Krishna. So middle sixth chapter actually describes about bhakti. Then the last six chapters, starting from 13th, is knowledge about the material nature, living entity, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is pointing out that there are two considerations, kshetra, kshetrajna, the field of action and the known of the field. Body is the field and the soul is the known of the field, individually. But entire material nature is the field and Krishna is the known of that field. So he is the supreme kshetra. And then he explains about the nature of the living entities. In the 11th chapter, this is interesting, when Krishna is establishing his supreme position, he actually shows his supreme position through by showing his universal form. And then in the 12th chapter, he actually speaks about devotional service. The 13th chapter is the nature, enjoyer, and consciousness. And who is the supreme consciousness? The supreme personality of God. And the 14th chapter is describing the three modes of material nature. Then 15th chapter is describing about the yoga of the Supreme Person. And 16th chapter is describing about the divine and demoniac nature. Some people are divine. Who are in divine nature? Those who are surrendered to Krishna. And who are demoniac? Those who go against Krishna. That's the ultimate consideration of divine and demoniac. Those who do not accept Krishna, no matter how important they appear to be, no matter how good they may appear to be, they're demonic. Those who are divine, Krishna personally takes care of them. Those who are demoniac, Krishna personally punishes them. Asuring Joni Mahaparna. And those who are demoniac, that I plunge them into the Ashuri Sheva Jonishu. Those who are demoniac, I plunge them into the demoniac birth. And by and without getting me a Prapomangivata. They transmigrate one after another body. What kind of body? Demonic body. And what is the consequence of the demonic body? Suffering. They go against Krishna and material nature smashes them. Go against the nature, go against Krishna's law, what will happen? Material nature will smash you. Material nature will create all kinds of calamities. Nuclear leakage, tsunami, earthquake, pestilence, war. No matter how much they try to prevent that, they won't be able to. Then the 17th chapter is division of faith. According to the modes, there are different types of faith. Those who are in the mode of ignorance, they have certain kind of faith. Those who are in the mode of passion, they have certain other kind of faith. And those who are in the mode of goodness, they have another kind of faith. And the final chapter, the 18th chapter, is the conclusion. The conclusion is the perfection of renunciation. And what is the final instruction? Perfection of renunciation. Sarva dharma parityajya. Renunciation means to renounce, to give up. And Krishna is saying, what? Give up what? give up all your so-called consideration of duty, all your so-called consideration of religion, all your so-called consideration of philosophy, all your so-called consideration of moral and ethical codes, give them up completely and just mamekam sharanam braja, just take shelter of me, just surrender unto me. Nidahan tuang sarvam apibhyo moksha ishyami vasuccha. I'll deliver you from all your sinful reactions, don't worry. Isn't it the perfect understanding? So systematically presented by the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, any other question? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna,
Radhe Radhe Govind Govind.